Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Kingston Town Hall. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct, if you should require assistance during the call, please press star then zero. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded, and I'd now like to turn the conference over to your host, Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lora. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I am Ricardo Lara, your California Insurance Commissioner, and it's a pleasure to join you all to talk about issues that are important to Californians' growing older population, especially how we prevent you from becoming a victim of fraud and scam. As we know, older people tend to face an increasingly difficult time when making decisions about financial and insurance products. And unfortunately, during these difficult times that we find ourselves, we see so many people trying to take advantage of our most vulnerable Californians. And also changing laws and more choices and the threat of scams combined to make these decisions even more stressful as you try to navigate all the different choices that are out there. And so the best way to make informed and safe decisions is to become familiar with the facts. And we're proud to have some great people that are going to be chatting with you and giving you some, you know, strategies of how do we keep you and your financial documents safe. You have worked a lifetime to build up assets and want to take precautions to protect yourself and your assets. As your insurance commissioner, we're always looking out for our seniors and our vulnerable Californians. And we also know that purchasing insurance and financial products that meet your needs can be challenging. Sometimes the product is pushed on you. Sometimes you cannot get what you want, or you may not fully understand what is actually covered. I was just talking to Nancy McPherson about the fact that my parents, somebody just came to their home last week and changed out their entire health care benefits. And so I no longer know what they're covered for. And going through that process of having to check and double check and now reassess what they signed and what they're legally obliged to do now can be very difficult. So, if it can happen to the parents of the insurance commissioner, it happens to everyone. As your financial situation changes over time, it is important to review your financial and insurance policies to decide if, the same terms and types of products are still right for you. And it may be helpful to review this information with someone you trust in your family or a trusted friend or ally. And so I'm really proud of the cadre of speakers that we have today that are going to give you some much needed information, especially as we try to maneuver these difficult times. We know people are out of work. We know people are trying to stay safe given this pandemic we're living in. And so everybody at this point are reassessing their documents, the products they've purchased, their coverage limits. And so we wanted to just to give you an opportunity to listen to some of these amazing folks that we have that have spent lifetimes supporting and fighting for our seniors throughout the state. Today, I'm proud to be joined by Nancy McPherson, who is our state director for AARP California, based in Pasadena. Nancy leads a team, staff, and volunteers in tackling issues that help people 50 and older in California live their best lives. Nancy is a fierce advocate for older Californians, and I know she is going to have a lot of helpful information to share with us today. Nancy, the floor is yours. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Commissioner Lara, for including AARP in this important conversation about fraud prevention. We're delighted to be here today. And in my role as the state director for AARP California, I have the privilege of representing over 3.3 million members in our state. At AARP, we work on behalf of people who are 50 plus and their families to enhance the quality of life for all, so individuals can live successfully in their homes and communities as they age. We know this is a high priority for all people in the age group that we represent. We champion positive social change, and we deliver value to our members through advocacy, information, and service. And the relationship that AARP has with our nearly 38 million members and the 50-plus across the country has really placed us in a unique position as a trusted resource. Beyond our national reputation and our 60-year history of serving and protecting the 50-plus, millions of our members also have strong personal connections with our state offices. AARP is very well informed on scammers' tactics, and we can communicate prevention techniques in a clear way that allows consumers to take action. We have a network of experts and trained and empathetic volunteers who are combined with our deep connections to local leaders and regulators, and these enable us to deliver support that consumers trust and can rely on as being in their best interest, especially when it comes to frauds and scams. Scammers steal billions of dollars from unsuspecting consumers every year. Any one of us can be a victim. And the impact on victims and their families can be financially and emotionally devastating, especially for older adults. And because of this impact, AARP created the AARP Fraud Watch Network in 2013. So what does this network do? This network helps consumers spot and avoid scams, and it also provides support and guidance to victims and their families when fraud happens. We also engage policymakers and industry partners to take additional action that helps protect consumers from becoming victims. This is really important. We believe that prevention is key, given that victims are rarely able to recover money lost to scams and frauds. And I'd like to share just a sampling of our efforts to empower our members and all other older adults. So if you have a pen and paper, you may want to take down a couple of these items. The first channel that we offer is aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. And this is a web page where consumers can access news, tips, and videos on how to spot common scams. And you can also view a scam tracking map featuring reports from scam spotters and law enforcement. On this web page, you can also sign up for alerts about scams that keep you tuned in to what's happening in our area and around the country. We also provide in-person and online learning through live events around the country. We have online learnings on how to identify red flags for potential scams, as well as webinars and teletown halls. And anyone can call AARP Fraud Watch Network Helpline. And I'm going to say this number twice, 1-877-908-3360. That's 1-877-908-3360, our AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline. And consumers can call this when they spot a scam or if they suspect that they or a family member has been a scam. In addition to work we do at the national level, our team is also hard at work right here in California to help protect our state members and other older adults. In 2019, the fight against scams and fraud continued with AARP events across California where attendees dropped off confidential documents for shredding. They participated in teletown halls with agency and law enforcement experts, and we shared tips and information through our biweekly watchdog alerts that go out by email and text to thousands of Californians. AARP also has Fraud Fighters, a group of trained volunteers who help educate members and the public on how to spot, avoid, and report the latest scams. And recently, 8 new Fraud Fighters joined our volunteer team, so we now have 28 highly engaged California Fraud Fighter volunteers supporting members across the state. In 2020, during COVID-19, as so many organizations did, we pivoted to make our fraud fighting efforts virtual by holding webinars and online trainings, as well as continuing to promote fraud alerts and relevant information via social media, email, and our state blog. And finally, we hope that today's call will provide you with the insight and tools you need to fight fraud moving forward. Please don't hesitate to reach out to us if you have any questions. You can find us at both Twitter and Instagram at AARPCA and on Facebook at AARP California. Thanks, Commissioner. I look forward to the call.
Thank you so much. Appreciate all the great work that you all are doing. Now, Nancy, I have a quick question because I'm moderating before we introduce Renee. Are your services also offered in other languages?
Strat, are we offering, we do have services, Strat Maloma, who's our fraud campaign manager here in California, is on the line. And Strat, I believe we're offering at least in Spanish. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, Nancy, that's correct. And thank you, Commissioner, for inviting us onto this call and that question. Yes, so we do have our offerings in several languages, mainly English, Spanish, as well as some of the Chinese dialects.
That's great. That's great. Now I want to take a moment to introduce Renee Rose, the deputy in charge of the LA District Attorney's Office of Elder and Dependent Adult Abuse Unit. Renee supervises a team of senior deputy district attorneys who handle cases of physical abuse, emotional abuse, physical neglect, financial abuse of older victims, as well as developmentally disabled adults over 18 years of age throughout all of LA County. Renee, I don't know how you do this through the entire county. It's a massive undertaking, and you are really doing God's work. Thank you for everything you do to keep us and our seniors and developmentally disabled adults safe. Renee, would you like to share a few thoughts?
I would. Thank you, Commissioner Lara, for inviting the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office to participate in this important event. The numbers are clear. By 2030, one in five U.S. residents will be 65 years or older. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the population aged 65 and older is projected to be 83.7 million by the year 2050, almost double the estimated population in 2012. The Los Angeles population of older adults alone is projected to double in the next 20 years. In fact, within the next 4 years, the global population of those 65 years and older will surpass those under the age of five for the first time in human history. Combine those population statistics with the fact that 70 to 75% of the nation's wealth is in the hands of older adults. This population possesses valuable assets, paid-off homes, lifetime pensions, retirement savings, and many have extremely good credit. And now add into that mix that this generation is fiercely independent, but extremely polite and trusting. They grew up believing the voice on the end of the phone, the person who knocked on their front door, and the content and legitimacy of the mail that was delivered to them. And lastly, a portion of this expanding population is or will likely become physically or cognitively impaired. Often isolation due to these impairments or just plain loneliness makes older persons susceptible to unscrupulous family members, exploitive caretakers, predatory professionals, and even complete strangers. Sadly, 1 in 10 older adults will experience some form of elder abuse, be it physical, emotional, financial, or neglect, but only 1 in 14 will report that abuse. Unfortunately, our vulnerability to financial exploitation increases as we age. Diminished mental capacity leads to bad decisions and an inability to detect or prevent financial exploitation from friends, family members, helpers, and professionals. What took a lifetime to accumulate can be lost in days, weeks, months, and sometimes years, and there's never enough time to recover financially, emotionally, and often physically. Oftentimes, the most vulnerable member of the family, such as mom, dad, or grandma, is left to live with the mentally ill adult child, the financially insolvent family member, or the drug or alcohol-dependent relative. And the consequences of these types of pairings can be disastrous. The common financial abusers that we see, number one, are going to be family members, caretakers, neighbors, new friends, contractors, professionals like attorneys and financial planners, bank tellers, and just plain con artists. Given the significance of this problem, the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office has created the Elder and Dependent Adult Abuse Unit. There are 5 specially trained deputy district attorneys and 2 DA investigators to handle all cases ranging from murders and assaults to the financial crimes throughout Los Angeles County. We rely on our local law enforcement agencies to conduct an investigation. And then once that investigation has been completed, those agencies then submit their reports and findings to this office for the filing of potential criminal charges. In addition, our DA, Jackie Lacey, has created an elder abuse hotline where you can report suspected elder abuse and Friday fraud alerts, which often highlight the latest financial scams on our DA website. The fourth Friday of each month is dedicated to scams targeting older adults. I believe that information is power, and the more people who know about the current financial scams and how they work, the better. While these scams may vary in complexity and design, they are usually designed to obtain the victim's personal identifying information, their money, or both. They employ tactics that are designed to address this generation's social norms and the fear of losing a home, the fear of being arrested. But everyone can help prevent elder abuse. Be aware when someone is taking an unusual interest in the finances of an older adult, befriending them, isolating them from family and friends. A change from paper statements to digital copies when the older adult has no computer, or a change in will, trust, or power of attorney after someone appears to be declining cognitively. If an older adult is suddenly secretive about a new friend, or the person can no longer pay for amenities that they used to be able to afford, these could be signs. Be aware that a person's circumstances can change. A trusted caretaker, a longtime financial advisor, or a family friend can fall on hard times themselves and then become financial abusers. Unfortunately, it could just be a combination of need, greed, opportunity, and perhaps from our own family members, a sense of entitlement. If you see someone who could be financially exploited or physically abused or neglected, call the 24-hour hotline of Adult Protective Services and call local law enforcement agency in the area where the victim lives. Collect all the financial records, bank statements, medical records, copies of POAs, trusts, or wills, and give that to the police. Find the detective who investigates these types of crimes and give them that material. But be patient because these crimes take some time to investigate. The prevention and early detection of financial elder abuse is a key component in the battle against elder exploitation. We need to increase our own awareness of the various financial plots and latest senior scams as we partner with law enforcement, bank personnel, and our community members to develop new strategies to address this growing problem. Town halls, these teletown halls, are a great way to share this valuable information with everyone. So, Commissioner Lahr, we thank you again.
Thank you again, Renee. Critical, the amazing work that you're doing. You know, at the California Department of Insurance, we are also committed to educating our seniors on all aspects of insurance and insurance products and really guaranteeing that you are aware of your rights and protections. You know, our consumer services division is made up of more than 100 compliance officers whose job is to take consumer calls and assist with any questions regarding insurance claims, insurance companies, or even assist in finding the right insurance product. As Renee was saying, situations change, and we're here to help you in terms of, you know, you may not need that much coverage, or you might need a different type of coverage. And these are questions you can ask our consumer services division and could better give you detailed information given your individual circumstance. Often our team serves as a first line of defense in protecting seniors by identifying questions they need to ask before investing in an annuity, for example, or purchasing an insurance product. In a year, these experts, you know, average receive over 150,000 calls from consumers seeking assistance and I have to say we have succeeded in recovering more than $156 million. We have online resources available to you, including the Senior Information Center and the department's website, which provides useful information through alerts and advisories that our department issues. It also includes videos and insurance guides specific to our seniors, the website can be found at insurance.ca.gov. That's insurance.ca.gov. The website's health coverage section provides links to programs, resources such as health insurance counseling and advocacy program, Medicare Advantage Plan, California Health Advocates, and Social Security. Other online resources is our Senior Gateway, which is an interagency website designed to provide meaningful resources to seniors and their families, and to inform you about healthcare and insurance options, and empower you to protect yourselves against financial fraud, abuse, and neglect. To date, our Senior Gateway has received more than over 200,000 page views, and continue to be a source of value information to our consumers. As we talk about this pandemic and the unfortunate situation we find ourselves in, also the California Department has a large law enforcement team with hundreds of investigators and law enforcement officers dedicated to uncovering and stopping bad actors that target vulnerable consumers, including our seniors. We encourage you to report any suspected insurance scams and fraud by calling us directly at 1-800-927-4357, 1-800-927-4357, or through our website at insurance.ca.gov, and we are available to answer any questions or concerns you might have. Again, this session is being recorded, so you can, once it's over, you can listen to it again and obtain those numbers, and we'll make sure we make those numbers, all the numbers of our panelists, available as well. It is essential that we continue to work together to protect our seniors. Often artists, con artists and scammers will put themselves in a position of trust, as Renee was saying, such as volunteering or advertising at a local church to make them appear more trustworthy, or they drop names of your neighbors or other residents as they work to convince you that other residents use their services and trust. Asking a lot of questions is a good way to start protecting yourself. Ask for their license and then call our customer service team, and we will check on their license for you. As a community, we can also get the word out to your friends and neighbors about all these types of scams perpetrated upon innocent people. And I urge any of you who think you or your loved one may be a victim of any type of insurance scam to contact us at the Department of Insurance. It is important to be vigilant, as we've been mentioning, and be observant and speak up. Physical or financial abuse will continue so long as no one knows about it. If you suspect anything is wrong or that you or your loved one is being abused, do not hesitate to contact our local law enforcement, as Renee was saying, or our Department of Insurance to report any suspicious activity. While our majority of our staff are teleworking, we continue to provide essential services for California consumers, and we are available again via phone at 1-800-927-4357 or through our website at insurance.ca.gov. And look, we know insurance can be complicated. It's complicated even for me, your California Insurance Commissioner. We can help you and guide you through this process. We have insurance experts ready to help you and answer your questions in multiple languages. You can talk to an actual person. This is not a recording. Thank you all for submitting your questions via email. We will try to answer as many questions as possible as we can today. But if we're not able to answer your questions during the town hall, please know that your question will be answered directly from the relevant organization. Now I'd like to introduce from our Department of Insurance, Louis Delarier, and he's our Division Chief of Investigation Division, and Kathleen Rooney, Assistant Chief of Fraud Division, who have joined me today to help answer questions. And I will also like to introduce Maloma, who spoke earlier, and I'm sorry, Strap, for putting you on the spot earlier than the run of show, but I just thought it was important for people to know. And Strat is our Fraud Campaign Manager for AARP of California. Again, we look forward to answering your questions. And the first question we received is for AARP. And the first question is, where does most fraud occur, and how does most fraud occur? So where does it happen, and how does it happen?
Hello, Commissioner. Let me first again say thank you to everybody for participating in this conversation. It's really, really an important conversation. I know a lot of folks in the community are going to find it very helpful. To answer your question, I really wish that I could point to a place where fraud occurs, because that way we could all collectively channel our resources there to combat it. But the truth is that there is no one place where fraud occurs. Scammers, fraudsters are always looking for new ways to steal our hard-earned money. And unfortunately, they operate everywhere. So fraud can occur in person, over the phone, through mail, or even so more so online. So unfortunately, as you mentioned earlier, we really have to be vigilant in all these places. Last year, the Federal Trade Commission reported that frauds such as the imposter scams, debt collection scams, and identity theft were some of the most prevalent for 2019 that they saw reported to them in 2019. And it's really noticeable that if a scam is successful in one part of the country, it's never long before we see it taking place in another part of the country. And that's why public education and awareness efforts like the ones happening today are really so important in keeping our communities informed and safe. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for that response. The second question is for the Department of Insurance. And it reads, what are some things I should know before I buy a new insurance policy? That's a great question. You know, if you're considering buying, reviewing, or replacing insurance, then the following insurance tips can be of assistance. I would check the status of your agent and company by calling the California Department of Insurance or visiting our website. Never be pressured or intimidated by an agent. Answer all questions on the application correctly. Don't sign any, absolutely do not ever sign any blank documents. Never sign anything that you don't understand. And don't give your agent power of attorney. You see that happen often. Read your policy and compare policies carefully. Keep your policy in a safe place. Get everything in writing and compare policies. Compare your coverage and cost. And be aware of duplicative coverage between policies, and don't pay with cash. Make checks payable to the insurance company. Make sure that you are meeting with your official agent of record when you sign the policy application. Ask the agent to sign the application in your presence. Don't sign if the agent sends an employee or a third party who may or may not be qualified or licensed to sell insurance. And also consider having a trusted family member, friend, or advisor participate in the discussion concerning the purchase of any insurance product. You can also find all these tips on our website in our Senior Insurance Bill of Rights at insurance.ca.gov. The next question, again, is for AARP. Are credit cards with the chip safer than magnetic strip cards?
So credit cards with a chip tend to be safer than the magnetic strips, and for several reasons. The first is that with a chip, the information is more encrypted and is more difficult to try and clone a credit card with a chip. So most of us go to our local gas stations and we put the card in there. But what we're finding scammers are doing is they're putting schemas into the credit card insert to read your credit card information, and then also putting little cameras to take a video of you actually putting in your code. So they get your credit card information plus they get your code. With the chip, it is more difficult to replicate that, to counterfeit your card. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. The other lucky thing is that the material, or rather the equipment that scammers and fraudsters need to replicate a chip is more expensive to try and get. And so using a credit card with a chip is always a better option if you have the option. Another thing I would say is if you do have the option between a credit card and a debit card, try to use your credit card more because your credit card will give you greater protection if there is fraudulent activity on your credit card as opposed to your debit card, which doesn't offer as much protection.
Wow, so great. Great, great suggestions. Did I know about the credit card and debit card? Thank you for that, Strat. The next question is for Renee from the Adelaide District Attorney's Office. And the question is, that's submitted says, what are some tips to avoid being a victim of scams? I know it's kind of broadly, but, you know, are there some unique tips that kind of span the spectrum of scams?
Yeah, no, I have a lot of suggestions here. But I want to start off by talking about scams. Although they're going to change in the content of the scams, they all have similar things about them. It's either a scam that you've won something, you've been selected to win something, and you have to pay a small fee in order to get that. There's some time pressure. You have to act now. Then there's the scams that give you fear of losing your home or your freedom. You'll be arrested. You've missed jury duty. The police are coming to arrest you. You'll lose eligibility for government benefits. Those are a huge group of scams as well. So one time they could be talking about Social Security. One time they could be talking about Medi-Cal benefits. The theme is still the same. This someone pretending to be a governmental agency is trying to get personal identifying information from you. Scammers want you to pay in ways that are hard for you to get your money back. They want you to pay in cash. They ask you to pay in gift cards like iTunes and Amazon and Google Pay, or they want you to do wire transfers. So those are red flags because no legitimate government agency will ask you to pay in cash, gift cards, or by wire transfer. So here are some of my preventative tips. Just hang up when these people call. I know it feels rude, but it is so important just to hang up. You can put call blocking services on your phone. Either a feature that's built into your mobile phone, one of the cloud-based services over the internet, or your own phone carrier service could be providing you with these kind of blocking mechanisms. Maybe a T-Mobile scam ID or AT&T Call Protect or Verizon Call Filter. Those are stuff that can all be added to your phone to sort of filter this stuff out. Some companies, some telephone companies offer call labeling. So the call will come to you and it will say spam or likely spam, and it might send it directly to your voicemail. So that's an option for you to call your service provider. The Federal Trade Commission, and I love the Federal Trade Commission, www.ftc.gov, they highlight scams. They tell you how the scams work in plain English. It's phenomenal. They highlight a bunch of scams from across the nation. Absolutely go on there to find out about the scams, but you can register with them on a do not call registry. Now it's maybe 50% effective, but that's 50% of less calls that you'll be getting from scammers. Do not send money to anyone that you have never met in person. Anyone asks you over the internet, anyone asks you over the phone, do not send money. Be suspicious, ladies, when a boyfriend you met online or at a dating website asks you for your bank account, or asks you to give him money because he's had a terrible emergency and needs the money right away. Do your homework before you send money out to charities, particularly in times like today. There's all these people popping up faking charities. Don't donate by cash, gift card, or by wiring money. Once again, those are the triggers that make us think again before we do something. I told you no legitimate government agency is ever going to ask you to pay for your a bill via gift card or wire transfer. That's the IRS, particularly, because a lot of people get the angry IRS scam. Don't call back the number provided on your phone or that somebody gives you in an email. Look that agency up and call that agency back with the number that you've looked up yourself. Look for misspellings in grammars and correspondence that you receive. These scammers are notoriously bad spellers. And if you start to see that there are grammar mistakes or misspellings, that's a really good sign that that is a scam. Verify your web addresses. Manually type them into your browsers. Check for misspellings in computer domains, like a web address that should be .gov is really .com. right? That could be a sign that it is also a scam. Set the privacy settings on your computers. I can't tell you how many times I've gone out and spoken with senior groups throughout Los Angeles County, and I ask people, you know, how many of you guys that are on the computer have set your privacy settings? And maybe, you know, the 30 people that raise their hand that they're on the computer, two people raise their hands that knew anything about privacy settings. So you have privacy settings in your social media. That means that you're only inviting in the people that you want to invite in. If you do not set privacy settings, all that information is open to the world through the internet. So be sure if you are on the computer and you are on these social media situations that you set privacy settings on your computer. Don't open attachments or click on links that from senders you don't recognize. That's how scammers get in on the smartphones and on the computers. Keep your software up to date. Multi-factor authentication on your devices. That means that not only do you put in a password, but then another code is going to be sent to your phone, and you have to put that secondary authentication in there to get in to bank accounts and financial accounts. Disable your location services. All of our cell phones have location services that are running in the background. You can disable that from your phone. Secure your Wi-Fi network with encryption at home. Install a firewall on your computers if you don't have them. Do not provide your username, your password, your date of birth, social security number, financial data, or personal information in response to an email or a robocall. Regularly check those bank accounts. I know even if you have someone trustworthy that is doing your finances, you should be looking at your financial investments and your bank account statements every single month. Do not sign legal documents without reading them fully. I can't tell you how many times we've had people come through here where usually the adult children have convinced mom or dad to just sign this document, and in fact they've deeded over a house or some other financial interest. So it's important, and also realize if you have been scammed, please don't feel bad. These guys are really good. This is what they do for a living. They are experts in finessing people. They are experts in hitting you in those emotional wheel wells that we all have. So please don't feel bad. But if you have been scammed, the sooner you act, the better. If you've paid by credit card or debit card, tell the bank or the company what happened and ask for that charge to be reversed back. If it's a wire transfer, cancel your wire transfer if you can. If you've given a scammer access to your computer, update your computer security software. Change your password. If someone calls and says they're going to help you recover money that's been scammed, that's a scam. Watch out for those guys, too. It's coming at you from every direction, from our phone, from our computers, people who knock on our doors. You guys are a wonderful, trusting, polite group of folks, but times have changed, and you need to protect yourselves from all the forces out there that come at you really almost every day. So with that, thank you once again, Commissioner Lahr, for letting us participate and for getting the word out.
Thank you, Renee. Well, now you have me properly freaked out, and this information is not only good for our seniors but for ourselves.
Absolutely.
I'm over here taking notes and making sure that I do all these things because it's so important. You know, we don't think of this stuff. And I really love that you said, you know, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad if this happens because you're right. These people are experts and their whole purpose is to, you know, defraud us and make us feel comfortable. And you know, they know how to do that. And so we need to be ready. And it, again, this is not just for our seniors, but for all of us. So thank you for reminding us to stay on our toes. Great information. You know, this question is for AARP. And, of course, this really dovetails into online shopping. And given that a lot of our seniors are, you know, rightfully staying at home, following the procedures, and now trying to buy groceries online, it might be something new. So what is the safest way to purchase things on the internet, like Amazon or grocery shopping?
Thank you for that question. Yeah, definitely the online world is something that really provides us great convenience, especially right now. So there's a couple of things that we recommend doing. So one is that, you know, always make sure you're using the right website. a lot of times, and that just takes a second or two to look at the name of the website. There are a lot of scammers who try to spoof or copy or replicate the name of a website that might be popular that you're used to using. Amazon is one of them, maybe your banking website, but what they tend to do is they may change a letter or something in there so it reads close to Amazon, and if you don't pay close attention to it, you may not notice that it's not exactly Amazon. Another thing you can do is just put your cursor over the URL and see where it truly takes you to, what really pops up as a true URL. So making sure that the website also is secure, and how you can do that is at the beginning of a website, you'll see four letters, HTTPS. Yes, if you make sure that that's there instead of just HTTP, the HTTPS shows that it's a secure website. You can also look for the icon, the site lock, which usually it looks like a padlock at the beginning of the URL. That too helps verify and gives you some sort of indication that that's a secure website. Another thing that you can do to prevent fraud online is to really is also to access, set up an online access to your accounts, whether it's your bank account, your credit card, or any kind of account that you have online, because this will give you an opportunity to review what's happening in real time with your account. In the past, we used to wait for instance, a bank statement, we used to wait 30 days, 28 days before we got a printout of the activity on our account. And if somebody scammed you or had unauthorized access to your account or used your account, then it would take you a long time to notice that. However, if you set up an online access, you can see in real time what's happening with your account. Plus, you can set up alerts you can get alerts to your email, to your cell phone, being texted to you about the activity. And if there's unusual activity happening in your account, you can notify your bank, you can notify the vendor immediately, and who can hopefully have enough time to put a hold on whatever that transaction is or freeze it or something. So that kind of prevents the fraud happening. And then lastly, something that was mentioned earlier that we sometimes don't do enough of, and that's using strong passwords and also just updating our passwords regularly, changing them. Using password managers on our accounts can help us make sure that we're constantly having strong passwords on those accounts and also keeping them safe.
Thank you so much, Scott, for that good information again. This next question comes to the Department of Insurance, and the question is, what are some red flags I should look out for when working with an insurance agent? That's a good question. People just assume, you know, that these folks are fully licensed or can have your best interest in mind. I'm going to have Louis Delaurier from our division chief of our department's investigative division to provide some more details on this. Louis, are you on?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to go over some warning signs to look out for, and these are crucial signs when dealing with an agent. First, beware of agents offering free seminars in sites like assisted living centers, retirement communities, or places of worship. These agents often misrepresent the true purpose of the seminar, or they require the attendees to provide them with their personal contact information in order to qualify for the free meal. Also, we should be on the lookout for agents offering to create or update a living trust in order to see your financial information. Unless the agent has a law degree, it's highly unlikely they have the knowledge, training, or experience to work on a living trust. And due to the legalities and complexities of this type of document, it really should only be created or revised in consultation with a licensed attorney. And if an agent is offering to do that for you, that's a giant red flag. There are other agents who provide wrong information or misleading information to the consumer about their current investment portfolio. Oftentimes, an agent will misrepresent that an annuity has less risk than their existing investments or savings accounts, or the agent may encourage the consumer to liquidate their existing portfolio unnecessarily with a promise or guarantee that they'll make more money by investing that money in insurance products. Agents might also target veterans by selling them an unsuitable or unnecessary annuity in order to reduce their assets so that they qualify for VA benefits. We should also be on the lookout for agents offering free insurance. These agents will tell you that the policy won't cost you anything, and then an unknown third party will pay all the premiums for you. And like with most things of life, if you're telling that you're going to be getting something for free, that's a giant red flag. Further, it's also important to know that it's illegal for any insurance agent, broker, solicitor, or insurance company to misrepresent the terms or benefits of an insurance policy. And finally, there's a specific provision in the insurance code stating that older Californians are owed a duty of honesty, good faith, and fair dealing by an insurer, broker, agent, or anyone else engaged in the business of insurance in California.
Thank you. Thank you, Louis, for that information. Next question is for AARP. And the question reads, how do we protect ourselves from identity fraud? And I think this question, I think this also has evolved throughout the years as people are becoming, fraudsters are becoming much more sophisticated, and we need to keep, you know, on the lookout for these things. So, Strat, what do you think?
Well, thank you. So there's a number of things we can do, and I think some of them have already been shared. But, you know, the biggest thing that fraudsters always ask, if it's not your money, it's definitely your identity, so your social security, personal information, et cetera. And that's kind of the number one thing really to protect, you know, protect your social security. A lot of folks we're learning tend to carry their social security card around in their wallet, which something we suggest is, you know, if you don't need to carry it, leave it at home in a safe place. If you need to carry it, maybe carry a copy, and what you can do is blank out certain numbers of it so that not all the numbers are showing. Maybe you blank out two or three numbers, and so in case your wallet does get lost and somebody does get a hold of it, they don't have the full number with them. The other thing is, you know, monitor your bills. Opening online accounts is really a great way to see what's happening real-time with your accounts and that nobody is using unauthorized to use your account and that nobody's doing so. And by opening an online account, it prevents another person opening an online account in your name. So that's something great. Freezing your credit right now. In recent years, we've heard a lot about data breaches and how many folks, hundreds of thousands of folks, lost their social security or folks had access to their social security. So that really puts folks at risk. And one thing that we recommend is by freezing your credit, it doesn't allow anybody else to access your credit or use your information to open accounts in your name, et cetera, that require that requires a credit check. And then something that a lot of us do is on social media, where we share a lot on social media, a lot of personal information that sometimes can get us into trouble. And also the privacy settings on social media, that allows, if we don't set those correctly, maybe just give privacy access to friends and loved ones, folks that you trust, as opposed to letting the whole world see what you have on your social media, because that is a source of a lot of information that folks can use, that families can use, should I say, to pretend to be you, target your friends, and create other kinds of situations. Mail. A lot of us get information in the mail, maybe bank statements, medical statements, social security statements, etc. Making sure our mail is secure and preventing mail theft is another way that we can protect our identities. And then also, you know, just being really cautious and not believing everything that every offer that sounds too good to be true, be a little bit cautious about it. You know, did I enter that competition? why am I being chosen to win $100 million when I didn't enter a competition? Just kind of asking ourselves those questions and being cautious, I think, goes a long way in helping us avoid identity theft. And then there's other things like, installed on our devices. A lot of us use smartphones nowadays. And the sad thing is we don't all do a simple thing of putting a password on that cell phone. Now, our cell phone is more than just a phone to make phone calls. You know, we get our emails on there. We get text alerts about our account status on there. And if you lose that phone and you don't have a cell phone, you don't have a password on there, that really puts you at risk. So the simple thing of putting a strong password on your cell phone, that really protects folks having access to your information. And then using the websites, which show as secure when we operate in the world today, we tend to have a lot of access to Wi-Fi, free public Wi-Fi, which is really a great thing. However, just be considerate about maybe the things that we do on free public Wi-Fi. So my rule of thumb is always, if it requires a username and a password, I'm not going to do it on public Wi-Fi. So doing shopping on public Wi-Fi, where we enter credit card information, passwords, etc., there's chances of that being picked up by folks spoofing websites, etc. And those are a couple of things that I'd suggest are helpful in helping prevent identity theft and keeping us safe.
Thank you, Strat. Again, you've definitely changed my perspective and how I'm going to conduct my own personal business. When I'm on those public Wi-Fis, it comes to mind the airport Wi-Fis that, some of us that travel often are always on, and to be more careful what we do when we're on those public Wi-Fis. And the other thing you mentioned to me that was interesting is we can almost just have an hour seminar on how do you protect your identity on social media for our seniors. I'm sure my parents are addicted to Facebook, and I've never once had a conversation with them about how to protect their identity or what they should be posting or their location. I mean, this is excellent, excellent tips, which I'm definitely going to talk to my parents about. So thank you again for that incredible information. The next question is for us, for the Department of Insurance. The question reads, what scams should I be on the lookout for during COVID-19? Great question. Right now, our communities are experiencing tremendous losses, and it is imperative for you to be aware of all the types of scams you and your loved ones could be susceptible to. I'm going to invite Kathleen Rooney, who's our assistant chief of our department's fraud division, to provide more details on this, because this is something that we have been working on since March now. Kathleen, take it away.
Yes, thank you, sir. Some of the scams that have been brought to our attention during this COVID-19 emergency include things like false insurance cancellation claims, where scammers say a loved one is sick in the hospital and needs coverage urgently and offers to let you pay for that coverage over the phone. Again, kind of falling under that sense of urgency and you need to pay right now. Bogus COVID-19 insurance that scammers promise at low prices when it's really just a ploy to steal your money and maybe your identity. Additionally, we have false DNA testing scams that claim that these tests are needed and that they're going to be paid for by your insurance. COVID-19 vaccines or test kits that scammers offer to you and are telling you that you're uninsured and you can get these tests kits for free from them, and also Medicare scams where you have robocalls asking for your Medicare number, and they in turn use that information to make bogus claims. So those are some of the things that we're seeing come through right now.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, it's always great to keep up, especially when it comes to COVID-19. And, it's unfortunately during these times when people take advantage of our most vulnerable, and we've been seeing that in the department. So thank you for that answer. The next question is for AARP. Is it a good idea to freeze her credit and with the three credit bureaus? Strat, what do you think?
Absolutely it is. It really is. Placing a credit freeze on your credit report with the three major agencies really is one of the best ways of stopping identity thieves from opening accounts in your name. If you freeze your credit, you know, this won't allow anybody to use it. And if you want to use it, you can simply just unfreeze it and use it. So it's a simple step. The way that I like to look at it is that I like it's like locking your home when you leave for the day, locking your house. And that way, when all your valuables remain safe, you know, nobody's going to take your credit and open accounts and run it up and destroy your credit. So freeze your credit. Whenever you do want to use it, it's a simple step to unfreeze it. And the truth is, we're not using our credit every day. We're not going to apply for things where we need our credit every day. So we may not be consciously checking every day what's going on with our credit unless we do sign up for those credit reporting tools. But the fact that we don't check it every day really makes us puts us in a little bit of a disadvantage in that we don't know what's happening until we do go and apply for maybe that loan, for that home, for that car, or wherever it's needed. Then we get a little bit of a surprise. Now, if you freeze your credit, you can avoid all that by having the comfort that nobody has access to it.
Hey, Strat, so a question for you. How does one go about freezing your credit? Do you just simply call the big three?
Yes, simply contact the all three. It used to be, I believe, you could just contact one, but I think now you have to contact all three. Plus, it will make sense that you can be assured that all three have the same information. So contact all of the three credit reporting bureaus, the Equifax, the TransUnion, the Experian, and let them know you want to freeze your credit. And if there's more information that anybody needs about the process of doing it, the FTC website, that's ftc.gov, has a lot of great information on steps and how to guide folks through that. The other thing is sometimes, you know, bad things do happen and folks do find that they become a victim of identity theft or identity fraud. And the FTC also has another great website where you can report that and they can take you through the steps of either repairing that or make sure that you're at least protected. And that's identitytheft.gov. Again, that's identitytheft.gov.
Perfect. Thank you so much. The next question is for the Department of Insurance. I have been considering buying an annuity. How do I know if it is right for me? Well, you know, as you all know, an annuity is a contract between you and the insurance company, and the purchase of an annuity by making one or more premium payments to an insurance company. So insurance companies make income payments to you for life or for a limited time, and there are different types of annuities that are complex and typically carry high surrender fees, and you may not be able to access your money for very long periods of time. Lewis, do you mind further elaborating and shedding some light on this question, please?
Sure. It's important to know that the law requires insurance agents to ask you questions about your personal financial situation to make sure the annuity you're purchasing is suitable for your needs and circumstances. Oftentimes, the agent is required to disclose information about your personal finances on the policy application. So it's very important that before signing the application, you read over this information to confirm that the agent has provided truthful and accurate information about you. Further, insurance companies can only sell you an annuity if there's a reasonable basis to believe the annuity is suitable based on the information you provide to the agent. And it's illegal for an agent to recommend to persons age 65 or older to purchase an illegal or unnecessary or unsuitable, I'm sorry, to purchase an unsuitable or unnecessary annuity. And finally, I wanted to emphasize once again how important it is that you read the application over in detail before signing it. If the application is not in your native language, ask the agent if they have a copy of the application in the language you understand, And if they don't, ask someone you trust to translate it for you. Don't rely on the agent to do it. And significantly, annuities are not like savings accounts. You can't deposit or withdraw money whenever you need it. Oftentimes, when you invest in an annuity, your money is going to be tied up for 1, 2, 5, even 10 years. And this is commonly referred to as a surrender period. So once again, it's very important that you read over the application and that you ask questions of the agent before signing so that you understand the terms of the policy and specifically the penalties of early withdrawal that you might have to pay if you need to withdraw the money before the policy matures. So those are some of the things that I would definitely look out for before agreeing to purchase an annuity.
Thank you, Liz. I know we've reached our time, but I do want to just give a minute or two tops to our to Nancy and Renee and Strat to just, if you have any closing comments, why don't we start with Renee quickly as we run out of time. Thank you again for your participation.
Thank you, Commissioner Lahr. We just want to, I want to thank you because the Department of Insurance is a big partner with us in our Life and Annuity Consumer Protection Program that we run through the Elder Abuse Unit. So a big thank you for partnering with us on that. I want to remind people that exactly what Strat said, if it sounds too good to be true, trust me, it is absolutely not true. Keep that in mind. If you want to find out more about the frauds that we highlighted at the District Attorney's Office, please go on our website. It's da.lacounty.gov/community/fraud-alerts. And we post them, if not every Friday, every other Friday, a new fraud alert. And like Commissioner Lahr said, it's not just for seniors. Millennials are big targets of these frauds as well. We can all fall for these frauds. But like I said, information is power. The more information we have, the more likely we aren't going to fall for this stuff. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Nancy?
Yes, thank you so much, and I'd be happy to close for AARP as well. I think the most important thing I want to reemphasize is that prevention is key, and there's been so much information today presented, great information, but to remind people that you're not alone, there are resources available to support you. Again, for AARP, the website is aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork, where you can stay abreast of things and really work on prevention. But if you have been a victim or a family member has, or if you just want to call to get more information, if you think something is a scam, please call AARP's Fraud Watch Network helpline at 1-877-908-3360. And we're here to help you as so many other resources are online. Thank you so much, Commissioner. This has been really informative.
Thank you. Thank you again to both organizations, and thank you to my staff. I hope, you know, our seniors found this experience helpful. We will have this town hall is being recorded, and we'll make the recording available on our website. Again, we'll be on the Department of Insurance website. And if we didn't get to your question and you submitted a question, we will make sure you get an answer. So, again, thank you for being part of this. Please be on the lookout and look forward to continuing to provide these critical resources so that our seniors and our most vulnerable Californians can continue to live full and healthy lives. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe out there. And, again, we're going to get this through this together. And thank you again for your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Event Conferencing Service. You may now disconnect.